Amen. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Exodus chapter 3. That's where we're going to jump into this morning. Exodus chapter 3. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for the opportunity that you placed before us this morning. Father, we pray, Lord, that as we get into your word, Lord, that it will affect us, that it will change us, Father. I pray, Father, for the Spirit of God to anoint each of our lives, Lord God, that we might receive what it is you're speaking to us this morning. Father, give us ears to hear. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So Exodus chapter 3 is, we find the Israelites kind of in a pickle. They've been in bondage for about 400 years, and God is looking for someone to raise up to be their deliverer. He wants someone to go to Egypt and lead them out of bondage. How many of y'all know that that will be a good thing if you're in bondage? Amen? And so this is kind of where we pick up, and this is the story of Moses on the backside of the wilderness. So Exodus chapter 3, let's go all the way to verse number 13. It says, "Then Moses said to God, 'Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them?'" So I think this is a legitimate question that Moses has. Lord speaking to him out of a burning bush and giving him these instructions about how he wants this him to be the deliverer of the people of Israel. And so Moses says, okay, God, here's the deal. Whenever I go to him and I say to them that the God of your fathers has sent me, what shall I tell them is your name? Very important here. And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he says, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent you. So this morning, we find where God identifies himself. He says, this is me. I am. Now, none of you in this room, I don't think, have that privilege of having that as your first name. God says, I am. And this morning, the first part of this message, I think probably we can all kind of get excited about, because I want to go through a list of, and believe me, this is not an exhaustive list, but it is a partial list of all the things God is. He says, I am, okay? I am. And so he is. He is God Almighty. That's what he said. He says, I am God Almighty. So he is God Almighty. He is a miracle-working God. Amen? If he was saying it, he would say, I am a miracle-working God. He is the creator of the world. So if he was saying it, he would say, I am the creator. Amen? Can we all kind of come onto the same page there? He is the ever-present God. He is the unchangeable God. He is the everlasting Father. He is the Father of mercies. He is the Father of all comfort. He is our author of salvation. He is the God that is full of power, a God that raises the dead. He is the quickening Spirit. He is mighty to save. He is our Maker. He is our Heavenly Father. He is the justifier of the one who has faith in Christ Jesus. He is the one who gives us peace. He is the one who gives us peace that surpasses all understanding. Man, he is a lot of things. I got to tell you, he's a lot of things. When we get over into the New Testament, Jesus, who is the Son of God, he is God, he begins to make some statements that have a familiar ring to them. As Moses questioned God, he says, who are you? God says, I am. Jesus, whenever he gets into the New Testament, you gotta hear this. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the bread of life. So Jesus starts making these things. So you got to understand, Jesus is the I am God. He is the wonderful counselor. He is the great shepherd of the sheep. He is our all-sufficient God. He is faithful. He is true. So if it was God saying it, he's saying to us, he's saying, I am faithful, I am true, I am all-sufficient, I am your great shepherd, I am your true foundation. I uphold all things by my word and my power. He says he watches over his word to perform it. He says he'll never leave us or never forsake you. He is always leading us into triumph. He is pleased to give us his kingdom. He equips us. He gives us revelation knowledge. He gives us the keys to the kingdom. He is our healer. He is our deliverer. He is our resurrection. He is our justification. He is our strength. He is our righteousness. He is our peace. He is our advocate. He is our faithful high priest. He is our provider. He is hope. He is our hope of glory. And man, the list could just go on and on and on, because he is the I am God. If you need anything from him, you got to understand, he is. He is all that we ever need. He is all that we'll ever need. He is, because he is the great I am. Now, I think this morning, if I went on with this list, we could probably all come to a place where we jump up and shout and say, yes, man, he is that to me. I'm thankful that he is my salvation. Amen. I'm thankful that he is my peace. I'm thankful that he is my strong tower. I'm thankful that he is my deliverer. Amen. Whew, man, I'm telling you, all these things, this is who God is. He says, I am. That's kind of a crazy way to define yourself. But folks, whenever it is God, he is. You can't find any place in God where he is not sufficient. Are y'all following this? You can't come to a place in God where he says, well, you know, I'm not so good at that. Because God is the I am God. He is forevermore the I am God. Now, I told you the first part of this sermon we could get all excited about, but this second part, I got to start with a time in my life where I worked for a union. I was part of the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers. And that sounds really, really great. Machinists and aerospace workers. I worked in a potash mine 1,250 feet underground, and I was a mechanic. I just got grungy dirty every day. That's what my job was. But I worked for a union. And this union was closed shop. I mean, everybody in the mine had to be a part of a union. It was no choice. Now, this was the crazy thing about it. Because, you know, whenever I was growing up, one of the things that I learned early on is if somebody needed some help, you gave it to them. Are y'all there with me? But it works a little differently than that in the mines. Now, let's just say that I seen a conveyor belt spilling ore all over the place. It's just dumping it everywhere because it's not going down the chute right. Well, my first inclination would be to jump out, get a shovel, and start shoveling it. Are y'all there with me? But I could not do it because it wasn't my job. Are y'all there with me? I was a mechanic, so I had to do mechanical things. I couldn't do any shoveling. If I did shoveling and got caught at it, I could actually get myself in trouble for shoveling because it was somebody else's job, and this is the way the union seen it. The union seen it as, I'm taking away somebody else's job by shoveling that ore onto the belt. I had an electrician buddy, and every once in a while I'd be down at a miner and it'd blow up and things would go crazy, and I couldn't fix that either. I'd have to call him and say, hey, please come down here and fix this. It blew up, going everywhere. But now I could do my job. Are y'all there? I could do my job. Now I'm just going to tell you, there was a little fudging that went on here and there. It's kind of like that thing that says what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. We kind of did the same thing occasionally at the mines because we said, eh. You see, there's certain things that I am. There's certain things that you are. There are also things that I am not. I'm a pastor. I'm not a pope. I can say that I'm a gardener. I love to garden. That's kind of one of my releases, that I love to garden. But I'm not a brain surgeon. And everyone said amen. Okay. I like to cook, and I do cook. I'm not the best at it. But I am not an airplane pilot. And everybody that's flying in the skies today is probably glad of that. And you see, the list can go on. And each one of us in this room, we probably can identify with this. You can say, well, I am this, but I'm definitely not that. I am this over here, but I am definitely not that over there as well. You see, the problem arises whenever I begin to think that I am things that I am not. Now, run with me on this. This is where the problem happens. Whenever I begin to think that I am things that I am really not. It's just like in the mines. Whenever I tried to do somebody else's job for them, I could get in problems for that. Whenever I tried to shovel, they'd say, nope, you can't shovel. All you can do is turn this wrench right here. Are y'all there with me? You see, the problem is whenever I begin to say, JD, you are this, whenever in reality, I'm really not that. Now, hang in here with me because I know this gets a little complicated. You see, whenever I try to be things that I am not, that's a problem. Whenever I try to do things that I'm not supposed to do, that's a problem. You see, whenever John the Baptist was here on the earth, one of the things that his job was is to be the forerunner of Jesus. He was the one that said, hey, I'm the one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make smooth his path, bring the high places down, bring the low places up. John the Baptist was the forerunner of Jesus, announcing Jesus coming. Well, there came a time whenever John the Baptist and Jesus had an encounter at the River Jordan. Jesus came, he says, baptize me. John baptized me, baptizes him, and now this is what came out of John's mouth. John says, I have to decrease so that Jesus can increase. Now, hang on to that because that's really important. Through the duration of this sermon, John says, I've got to decrease, he must increase. You see, there has to come a time in our walk with the Lord where that begins to happen. Because this is what I believe about Christianity. I believe there's way too much humanness in Christianity. Okay, let me just put it the way y'all can understand it. There's way too much JD in Christianity. Come on. I think sometimes it's my job when it's not my job. I think sometimes I ought to be doing it whenever I shouldn't be doing it. I think sometimes there needs to be way less of me and way more of Jesus. I imagine there's somebody in here that perhaps can identify with this, but I like to drive. I do not like to sit in the passenger seat and have somebody else drive. And I don't know if I'm just a control freak or what, but I just like to drive. My kids had a hard time learning to drive because I didn't want to let them drive. I was just going to show them. That would be better. This is the way you do it. You know what I'm saying? But there came a time where I had to relinquish the steering wheel. And I can remember one time relinquishing the steering wheel. We're going about 70 miles an hour down the road, and it was amazing at how sometimes my kids, whenever their head turned and looked this way, their arms also moved that way. We were going about 70 right next to a bridge embankment, and we just about hit that rascal. I see my life flash before my eyes. And then the next thing, my son seen his life flash before his eyes. I like to drive. I like to be in control of the steering wheel. I mean, if you ever come and say, Pastor, you know, I'll drive, I guarantee you, you're probably going to get something like this from me. No, I'll drive. It's no big deal. I'll drive. Because I don't want you driving. Okay? I love you. Especially you, Morgan. You're never going to drive me around anywhere. It's not going to happen. I like to drive. But this morning, the whole crux of this sermon is there comes a time in our lives whenever he must increase, we must decrease. There comes a time in our lives where we've got to allow him to take a hold of the steering wheel. We have to let him be the I am in our lives. There needs to be more surrendering on our behalf, letting him do it. Letting him be the I am in our lives. He is the God of peace. He is the God of strength. He is the God. He is. He is. He is. That's the I am God. There's nothing that you can come up against that you can't say, my God can't do that. Are y'all there with me? My God is the answer to this prayer. My God is the revelation to this knowledge that I need. My God is able. He is the I am. There's nothing that goes beyond his capabilities. Sometimes we do everything that we possibly can to take away the jobs that he wants to do in our lives. You see, God wants to provide. But unfortunately, oftentimes we step into his job and we do the providing. You know the kind of people that I like to be around, and you have to understand, I'm not like this very often. But I like to be around people who tell me constantly of all the things God has done for them. It's a shame. Tonight in our Sunday evening service, one of the opportunities that I want to give everybody is the opportunity to tell us what God is doing in their lives. Come on. You know, just a quick testimony. This is what God is doing in my life. I like to be around people that says, hey, let me tell you what God did in my life. Hey, let me tell you what God did in my life. Hey, I got something else that God has done in my life. You cannot believe this. God did this in my life. Oh, wow, this is awesome. God did this over here in my life. You see, that's somebody who has allowed God to take a hold of the steering wheel. That's somebody that has allowed God to do what God does best, be the I am God in our lives. Unfortunately, whenever I go looking for a testimony, many times I go, well, I did that, and I did that, and I did this over here, and I did that. Are y'all there with me? And it's hard to say, hey, would you like a testimony about what I've done in my own life? God wants to provide, but oftentimes we step in and we provide ourselves. He wants to heal, but we try to figure out ways that we can get that healing done ourselves. Real quiet in here. He wants to be our peace. You see, God wants to be the peace that surpasses our understanding. That is peace, folks. But unfortunately, what we've done as a society, we try to find our peace in a little pill or at the bottom of a bottle. God says, let me be the I am God that I am. Let me be your peace. Let me be your provider. Let me be your healer. But too often there's too much of me. There's too much of me. I need to say, God, I need to decrease and you need to increase. I mean, God comes to us and he says, I will be your strength. That's what he says. I will be your strength. I'm going to tell you something. His strength is better than mine. He says, I want to be your strength, but so often we trust in our own strength. I mean, this is a word that, I mean, a phrase that comes out of my mouth way too often. I can do it. I can do it. I can do that. I can do that. And please don't misunderstand me. I think sometimes we say, I can do that, whenever all the time in our heart we're holding this premise that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Are y'all there with me? But unfortunately, that's not what we're saying sometimes. Sometimes we're just making the statement, I can do that, and God is nowhere in the picture. Folks, we've got to decrease. He has to increase. I got to tell you, you know, the human being is an amazing creation that God made. He says, what humanity has been able to accomplish is mind-boggling. Whenever you begin to understand the scientific breakthroughs that we've had, the breakthroughs we had in medicine, do you realize that they can take the heart out of a dead person and put it into a living person, and that person can live with that? Are y'all there with me? Humans are amazing creatures. And the reason we're amazing creatures, listen to this, the reason we are amazing is because we have been created in his image and in his likeness. He made us like him. Come on now, listen to this. He made us like him. And in that being created like God, there are so many things that we are capable of doing. In the 11th chapter of Genesis, there's a story about God confusing the languages of people. It's called the Tower of Babel, and we're probably all familiar with it. So all the people in all the world only spoke one language. They only had one language, and I'm sure it was Spanish, because that's where the word burrito and taco come from. Okay, so that's my justification there. One language, they're wandering across the planet, kind of populating as they go, and all these people, they decided to settle in this one place, and they got, all of them got together and said, okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to build this amazing city, and we're going to build this tower that just reaches up into heaven. And so they start doing it. They start building the Tower of Babel. I kid you not, they're building an Empire State Building out there in the middle of the desert with bricks. God looks at this, and this is what God says. Indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language, and this is what they begin to do. Now nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. So this is God making this statement. He's seeing what they're doing, and he's going, wow. They're all speaking one language, and basically nothing that they decide to do is going to be withheld from them. Are y'all saying what I'm saying? He's saying, guys, these human beings are incredible. Anything they set their minds to doing, they're going to be able to accomplish it. God's saying his creation has enormous potential to get things done. And we do. But just because we can do something doesn't mean we should. And y'all know the revelation of pro versus novice. The very first time I had an encounter with a pro athlete was whenever I went to a tennis tournament in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and it was kind of a celebrity thing, and they had a couple of pros, and there was a guy, some of you might remember, his name was Eli Nastasi. He was a pro tennis player. And at that time, I thought I was pretty good at playing tennis. I could get in one serve out of about 10. And, you know, we were just a bunch of kids playing. I used to play in cowboy boots. That tells you how good I was. But we just drove up and seen this guy. And I kid you not, that guy could knock a tennis ball way faster than I ever dreamed a tennis ball could be hit. A few months later, I got to go to a celebrity pro-am tournament up in Albuquerque. It was the same thing. There was a guy named Lee Trevino there, and he was in his heyday, and I thought at that time I was a halfway decent golfer, and I found out that I couldn't even hit the ball compared to Lee Trevino. There was another guy called Chichi Rodriguez, and some of you guys probably remember Chichi Rodriguez. He was an amazing pro golfer, and these guys were just at a level that I didn't know anything about. I didn't know you could hit a ball like that. I had no idea. I was a novice. I mean, I was somebody that they could beat with their hands tied behind their back. They could beat blindfolded. There's just a big difference. Many of you in this room, you've probably experienced it. Maybe as a family, you were doing something, and, you know, young children, you gave them the opportunity to do something that mom or dad does. And how many of y'all know that whenever the child gets a hold of it the first time, they're not going to do a good job? Not like you, because you've done it over and over and over and over, and you've got skills that they don't have. It's just like the journeyman versus the person that's a first-year apprentice. There's a big difference in the level that journeyman can pull off than that apprentice. Let me just make sure we all are on the same level here. He is better at everything that we are. He's always, listen to this, he's always going to do better than you and I can do. And that's why this morning, I just say this over and over. We have to allow him to be the I am in our lives. We've got to allow him. We just got to step back and say, God, you are the I am God. And I'm going to allow you to take this steering wheel that I've got in my hands. And so often I just feel I can't allow you to take this, but I'm going to let you, because you are the I am God. You are better at it than me. You can do it better than me. You can do it better than I ever dreamed could be done. See, one of the indicators in my own life where I know there's getting to be an imbalance, there's too much of me and not enough of him. Now, listen to this. This is the way I know. It's called prayer. Let me tell you something. Somebody who spends a lot of time praying is somebody who is decreasing and allowing him to increase. You see, I'm convinced of this. I believe there is far too little prayer in the life and times of most Christians. See, God made us like we are, and this is it. Almost all the time, you and I can get the job done. Are y'all there with me? Let's just cut God completely out of the picture. You and I can get the job done almost all the time. Now, there's some things, boy, that drives us to our knees. We come to a place where we go, I cannot do it. The doctors can't get it done. The financial people can't get it done. They say there's impossibility. So that's where we pray. And we say, God, I need you to be the I am God. I need you to be my liver. I need you to be my healer. I need you to be my source right here. Are y'all there with me? But see, all those other times, we go, God, you know, I really need you to do this. And God, not a peep. And so we go, I can do it myself. It's no big deal. I got this covered. See, most of the time, we can do anything we need done. And hey, if we can't do it by ourselves, we can do it corporately, can't we? I mean, man, there's power in numbers. I can call up Ed, I can call up Dan, I call up Derek, and we can get this done. Are y'all there with me? We can do it. We can do it. So I think sometimes there's far too little prayer in the life of times of Christians, because, you know, why do we really need to pray if we can do it ourselves? See, it's not only just Christians, but it's families. I believe it's churches. Hey, we can do this. We can do it ourselves. We can do it. But let me tell you something about prayer. And now, I'm not just talking about some rote prayer. I'm not talking about some you write that's written down in a book for you. But I'm talking about prayer that is genuine. Prayer that is genuine. It is an indicator of our dependency on God. Ever been around anybody that just prays all the time? It just seems like every 5 minutes or so, they're saying, here, just get my hand, let's pray over this. Well, we need to do this. Well, let's pray. Let's ask God to help us. Well, I need to go over here. Well, let's pray for protection while you're going over there. Well, I need to go to the store and buy this. Well, let's pray that God will give you a good deal somewhere. You ever been around anybody like that? I mean, I've told you the story about the woman who asked for like 12 dish rags. She wanted, I think it was washcloths. She wanted 12, she couldn't afford them. And she asked, and the next day, the knock on her door, somebody shows up and says, man, I know this sounds really weird, but I felt like God spoke to me this morning, go down and buy you 12 washcloths and bring them over to your house. What a testimony. And you go, oh, pastor, I can go to Walmart and buy me 12 washcloths. That's not the point I'm trying to make. The point I'm trying to make is it's his job. He has adopted me into his family. I am his child. And now he is responsible for every breath that I take, every step that I take, every move that I make. And he wants to help, but too often we cut him out of the equation. We go, God, I don't really need you. Prayer is an indicator of how dependent we are on God. A little bit of prayer would indicate little dependency on him. Much prayer would indicate much dependency on him. But some of you may be sitting there and say, Pastor, why should I pray about it whenever I can just do it myself? And you might even throw in a scripture, because the scripture says, God helps those that help themselves. That is not scriptural. Okay? I've heard that before, though. I've heard people tell me, God said it. It's in the Bible. I said, no, it's not. Yes, it is. My grandmama used to read it to me out of the Bible. I said, she might have had it written in the margins, but I'm telling you, it ain't in there. God never said, I'll help you if you help yourself. God says, through the whole Word of God, you are dependent upon me. You are dependent upon me for every breath you breathe, for every day that comes over that sunrise. You are dependent upon me. I hold everything together with my spoken word. If I cease to do that, you would find yourself in a fix. I mean, the Israelites we read out of Exodus chapter 3, the Israelites, they ended up leaving. God done some miracles and Moses led them out into the wilderness. And I got to tell you something about the wilderness. That is a barren place. I mean, there have been estimates of the Israelite people of being somewhere between 500,000 and 2.1 million people that exited Egypt in that day and time. And they marched out into the wilderness and they took a few days' supplies with them because they took all the bread and so on and so forth. But you got to understand this. They ran out after a little while and there was no Burger King's. There was no Ingles Superstore. There was nothing out there in the wilderness. There was no water. There was no food. There was no nothing. And God decided, he says, listen, I'm going to take care of your every need. And he did it in supernatural form. For heaven's sake, out of rocks, he caused water to just flood out by the millions and millions of gallons. I heard one time that it would take a train about 500 cars long in order to feed and clothe and provide the firewood and the water for the Israelite nation for just 1 week. And they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Well, that's not 40, but it's close. And God provided for him. He caused manna to rain down out of heaven and literally gather on the ground like dew. He took care of them. The Bible says that their shoes and their clothing did not wear out. I'm going to look on Amazon for some of that stuff. Come on. I mean, Pastor, why should I pray about anything? Why should I ask God for anything if I can just do it myself? This is the reason. This is the biggest reason. Because God wants to take care of us. But sometimes we are so prideful and so stiff-necked that we just can't give a little. I'm telling you, you can do it, but God can do it so much better than you. God can do it so much better than I can. I need to just tell myself that over and over and over. God wants us to be dependent on Him. That's why we pray. That's why we ask. I think our day, you know, I've heard this from people. You know, God hears us asking Him so much that He gets tired of us asking. I've heard that. And please don't misunderstand me. I think that there's times where we need to just praise Him and times where we just need to thank Him. But folks, I don't want anybody in this room to ever believe for 1 second that God doesn't want us to ask. You know what He said? You know what God said? He said, you have not because you ask not. He said, knock, seek, ask, and it shall be open. It shall be given. God's telling us in Himself to ask. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. That's the word of God. So don't ever come to a place, because I believe that's a lie of the enemy, where we fail to ask Him. I'm telling you, we need to ask Him for so much more than we ask Him for now. I mean, have you ever thought about this? Pray before you go get groceries. I'm just going to tell you, I don't. I just try to fill out a list. And I always leave room at the end of that list for other items deemed necessary. Renee gave me a list the other day whenever I went shopping, and she said, here, I've written down some things so that you could get them at Walmart. And I looked at the list, and it was like, Jolly Ranchers, jelly beans, ice cream, popsicles. I'm going, what are you having, a sweet attack, or what's the deal? I got her everything she asked for. And then we gave most of it to the grandkids. Here, take that bag of jelly beans home. We don't like them. Except we told them we liked them. But we loved them enough to give it to them. Just joking. You see, God wants us to be dependent on Him. He wants us to have a list that every day we say, God, help me with groceries today. Help me not to put too many items on there that are other items deemed necessary. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? Help me to get the best deals. Help me to save money. Help me to have bargains, Lord. Help me to get safely from my house to the Super Ingles. You go, oh, pastor. Come on. Folks, He is the I Am God. And He wants to be strong in our lives. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. I can do all things through Christ. That scripture right there ought to tell us there's nothing that we can do without Christ. He literally wants us to be a channel for Him to do His job through us. That's the bottom line. You see, not only does he want to bless us, but He wants to bless other people around us through us. He just wants to pour His I Am through you and I so that other people get blessed by us being close to the I Am God. He wants to be my I Am. He wants to be my I Am. But now listen to this carefully. Before He can be my I Am, before that can happen, I've got to learn that I'm not. Let that one sink in for just a minute. I'm not the provider for my family. I'm not. And the list just goes on and on and on. As the pastor of this church, I'm not what you guys need. Jesus says. Come on. I'm not. We've got to come to a place where we start telling ourselves, I'm not. I'm not. I'm not. And that doesn't mean that you just sit on like a lump on a log waiting for Christ Jesus to strike you with a magic wand so that you have everything that you need. Sometimes God puts us in gear. But guys, you have to understand this. Whenever He puts us in gear, He's still providing for us while He's putting us in gear. You can't just sit there and say, God, I'm going to go shop for groceries, but I have no job. I'm not working. God says, listen, I'll provide you a job, and then I'll provide you a means that you can go shop for food. Are y'all there with me? I mean, God wants to do it through us. He wants us to understand that He has provided for us. He wants us to understand that He wants to continue to provide for us. But in order for that to happen, I've got to learn I am not. I've got to learn to surrender to His will. Not my will, but Your will, Lord. I mean, can I just ask a personal question? When was the last time that you actually said that to God? Not my will, but Yours. Because too often in my own life, I'm running forward with my will as fast as I can possibly run forward with it. And that's where I have to learn that I am not. He is the I Am God. I am not. If I'm going to allow Him to be the I Am God, and I'm going to come to a place where I am not, I have to not only surrender to His will, but I have to surrender to His ways. You know, different parts of the country, they do different things. I can remember when I first arrived in Montana, we went to eat with one of the couples in our church, and they said, do you want to go out into the living room and sit on the Davenport? I thought that was some kind of car or something. Does anybody know what a Davenport is? It's a couch. So we went out there. I'm looking all over for the Davenport. I'm thinking, okay, what is a Davenport? I know it's out here, and they want me to sit on the Davenport. And they said, you want to have a seat right here? I go, well, that's the couch. Oh, that's the Davenport. Okay, I got it. I learned. I say, in North Carolina, we just call that the couch. Let's go sit on the couch. I didn't understand why they didn't. But you have to understand, some places in the country do things differently than we do it. And I'm going to tell you this. God does things different than we do them too. The Bible tells us that His ways are not our ways. His ways are not our ways. And so you and I will have to surrender to the ways of God because His ways are higher. And this last one, I almost left it out because it's one of those that just, it's like a cuckoo burr underneath the saddle blanket. It's sometimes if we want to let Him be I am and we are I am not, then we not only have to surrender to His will, we have to surrender to His ways, but we also have to surrender to His timing. And everybody said, yes, I'm willing to do that. God said He's the I am. He didn't say He was the I am right now. And that's the way most of us want our answers to our prayers, amen? Is right now. In fact, Lord, whenever I open my eyes from praying this prayer, I want to have it. So just lay it on me. That'd be awesome, wouldn't it? I'm just going to ask the question, how many of you have ever been frustrated by the timing of God? And both of my hands go up. If we're going to allow Him to be the I am God, and we're going to take the place where we say, I am not that, you are the I am not, we've got to surrender to His will, we have to surrender to His ways, we have to surrender to His timing. And this morning I've said surrender quite a few times, and I'm just curious if anybody knows that old song, I surrender all to Thee. You guys know it. I surrender all. I mean, not only do you know it, but I would take a chance that perhaps the majority of people in here have actually sang that song, yes? Okay? So now we've got this out of the way. We know it, and we've sang it. But how many have ever done it? I think we should have, whenever we sing that song, I surrender a little bit. Or maybe we should say, I surrender a quarter of the things. Come on. You guys know what I'm talking about. I mean, folks, if we are going to let Him be the I am, if we're going to be the I am not, then you and I are going to have to surrender to His will. We're going to have to surrender to His ways, His timing. I surrender everything. I surrender it. Whenever you look at the definition of surrender, it says to cease resistance and submit to the authority. To give in. To give oneself up. To give way. Synonyms, it says to yield, to concede, to submit, to climb down, to back down, to cave in, to relent, to crumble. And the list goes on. Are y'all there with me, folks? This is what it means to surrender. It's saying, Lord, I submit to You. I back down. It's not my way, but it's Your way. It is not my will, but it is Your will. It is not in my timing, but it is in Your timing. Because You are the I am God, and I am not. I'm not. Folks, I dare say this, because some of you may... I am not capable of running my own life. You go, Pastor, you're 47 years old and you got all this experience. How in the world could you not be capable of running your own life? Well, for one thing, I don't even know how old I am. And hopefully you don't either. Come on, people. I'm not capable of running my own life. But I dare say that not one of you in this room is capable of it either. Yesterday, I had the privilege to marry a young couple, Jeb and Cheyenne, got married, and it was a good day. I mean, weddings are great. They really are. They're just great. I mean, man, everybody's happy. At least that I knew. I think everybody was happy there. Jeb and Cheyenne were just, you know, it was good. I had the opportunity to counsel with them for a few weeks prior to their wedding, and this is not a mark towards Jeb and Cheyenne. It's a mark to all young people. They're dumb. I think every young married couple I've ever counseled had this idea of what marriage was going to be like, because they watched all the Disney fairy tales. They've seen all the knights in white armor, so on and so forth. But you and I know, don't we know? All of that stuff ends about 3 or 4 weeks into it, and you're going, hey, this is going to take some work to make this baby fly. Are y'all there with me? You know, so often young people, they just know everything. They know everything, and in reality, they know so little. Folks, I got to tell you, in reality, all of us older people, that we are supposed to have more wisdom. Are y'all there with me? We're supposed to have more wisdom. You know what wisdom really is? It's coming to a place in your life whenever you figure out that you really don't know anything. That's wisdom right there. It's wisdom. You say, man, I've come to a place where I just don't hardly know nothing. That's wisdom. Even the smartest person on the face of this earth has no clue how to run their own life. You take God out of the equation for 1 second, and this world would be in chaos. I grieve sometimes at some of the families that we minister to, some of the families we have opportunity to take a hold of their lives. I grieve because of the mess, because of the calamity that's in the midst of their lives. And you know what that is? It's a family that God has been taken out of. He's not there. By the grace of God, I'm where I am. That my kids have never really caused me massive amounts of grief. Are y'all there? But it's because of God. It wasn't because I knew how to raise kids. It wasn't because my wife knew how to raise kids. I am not capable of running my own life. But He is. You see, there are some things that we've been trying to do that we need to surrender to Him. Jared, if you'll come and help me close this morning, I'm going to go gently with this. I'm not going to do the old Band-Aid kind of whoosh, all at one time. I'm not even going to ask you to sing that song, I surrender all. I'm not even going to ask you to do that. I'll be honest with you. I think today we need to just start out gently. And maybe just one thing. Just one thing. I don't know if you have the courage, but maybe you have the courage to do a couple things. To surrender to God, the I am God, the God that is the way, the truth, and the life, the God that is the bread of life, the God that is the good shepherd, the God that is our healer, the God that is our deliverer, our resurrection, our justification, the God that is our strength, our righteousness, our peace, the God that is our advocate before heaven's courts, the God that is our provider and our hope. Maybe there's just one thing that you need to decrease and say, God, I am so tired of trying to work this out myself. For about 38 years, I've been trying to get my dad born again. Praying for him, doing everything I could, doing everything I could. Last time I was in New Mexico, I had it all planned out, man. I'm telling you, I was going to do this, I was going to do that, I was going to do this. I know I had y'all praying for me. And the night came where I had an opportunity to speak to him. And I got to tell you, it was like everything in hell lined up against me. I literally went to bed that night and I could not sleep. I was just overwhelmed by the process of evil. I mean, Satan used everything in this. And I'm not going to go into long details, but I just, and this morning, a little bit of this is still up in the air. I just don't know. But about a week and a half ago, I called a fellow pastor in New Mexico. I think I shared this with you, to visit my dad in the hospital. And I said, you know, I'm really concerned about his soul. I just don't know where he's at spiritually. You have to understand, I've ministered to him over and over and over. I've preached the gospel. Never was he ready to pray a prayer. Never was he ready to ask God to save him. Thursday morning, I got a call from this pastor. He said, Pastor, he said, I just came from the hospital. He said, I was ministering your dad. He said, I had a great conversation with him, and I came to a place where I said, do you believe in God? And my dad said, absolutely. And then this guy asked him, he said, are you at peace? Are you right with God? And this was the confession of my dad's mouth. He said, yes. He said, I am. And now that gives me a great opportunity to follow up and to say, Dad, how did it happen? And when did it happen? But I have to say, I don't think my dad is a person that would have said that unless it was true. I've been trying to do this for 38 years. And God used a series of events because He is the I am God. I am not, but He is. And there will come a time whenever my wife takes her place over there, and Chris, you're just going to have to deal with it. She's going to be on your pew. And it won't be because I am. It'll be because He is. But we've got to recognize that. He is the I am. I am not. And this morning, there are things that you all are carrying around. There are things that you're trying to work out. There are things that you're trying to do in your own strength, your own ability. And God's saying to you, let me have it. Let me take a hold of it. I am the I am God. You're not. But this morning, it's going to take us doing something that's a little drastic. I brought an extra hanky this morning. I think everybody knows what this means, right? They say whenever you raise up a white flag to the opposing military, it means I surrender. Now, I brought me a stick and a hanky, but I don't think y'all brought you one. But there's another form of surrender as well if you ain't got a handkerchief. Because this morning, He is, but I am not. And in order for Him to be what He needs to be in my life, I've got to surrender some things to Him. I got to raise the white flag and I got to say, God, it is Your will and it is not my will. God, it is Your way and not my way. God, it is in Your timing and not my timing. I surrender, God. I surrender this one thing or two things or whatever it is. You see, this morning I'm not pressing you to make a decision to surrender all. We'll just work with that one day at a time. But God, I surrender. I surrender it into Your hands because You are the I am God. I am not. I am not. I am not. I am not. I never will be. I'll never even make a feeble attempt at being the I am God. This morning, if you don't have a white flag, you don't have a white hanky, There's another thing that they say you can do. They say you can put both hands up and you can surrender. This morning, if there's something in your life that you need to surrender to God, you need to just give Him the opportunity to be the I am God. And you need to just say, God, I'm finished with this. I'm going to ask you to just stand wherever you are in this sanctuary. Just stand to your feet. You're saying, God, it's time for me to wave the white flag. It's time for me to put up my hands. Now, wherever you are in this sanctuary, you just begin to do that. Just begin to lift your hands. If you don't have a flag, this is your form of surrendering. This is your form of saying, oh God, I surrender this into your hands, God. I surrender it into your hands, God. You are the I am. I am not. You are the miracle working God. I am not. You are the God that is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and end. I am not. You are my peace. I am not. You are the God that is mighty to save. You are the God that is able to do exceeding abundant above all that I can ask or think. God, you are the I am. I am not. Come on, church, just surrender it right now. Just begin with your mouth to just call it out to God. Say, God, I surrender my children into your hand. God, I surrender my grandchildren into your hand. They're running their own ways. They're doing their own thing. But God, you are able to bring them back. Father, I surrender my health into your hands because God, you are my healer. You are the God that healeth my body. And God, I surrender it into your hands. God, you are the God of provision. You provide for me, God. And I surrender, God. I will quit trying to sit on the throne that only you are worthy to sit on. I am not the provider. I am is my provider. Hallelujah. I glory in you this morning, Father. I glory in the revelation that you are the I am God.